Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, page 94. Devaki was so afraid of Kamsa that she could not believe that Krishna would be unable to kill Lord Vishnu. Was so afraid of Kamsa that she could not believe that Kamsa would be unable to kill Lord Vishnu, who is personally present. Out of motherly affection, therefore, she requested the Supreme Personality of Godhead to disappear, although because of Lord Krishna's disappearance, Kamsa would harass her more and more, thinking that the child born of her was hidden somewhere. She did not want the transcendental child to be harassed and killed. Therefore, she requested for Lord Vishnu to disappear. Later, when harassed, she would think of him within her mind. Right? So, she's not afraid at all of herself being harassed by Kamsa, because she's a devotee. She's fully surrendered to the Lord. So she's absorbed in that aspect. The difficulty comes down is that she's worried about Krishna as her son. Right? Because in this, we see is that if one may say, is no, but he's God, why should be she should be worried? But the whole point is does God have a mother? You know? So that's the whole point. So it's relationship, it's rasa, it's the taste of that interaction. Therefore, then, she feels this way. Sri Devaki continued, O Madhusudan, because of your appearance, I am becoming more and more anxious in fear of Kamsa. Therefore, please arrange for that sinful Kamsa to be unable to understand that you have taken birth from my womb. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Krishna responds, O mother, if I make this forearm form disappear, when Kamsa comes, he will ask, where is the child? And thinking you have stolen the child, he will commit violence against you, will he not? To answer this, Devaki replies, I have no fear of that. Thus, she speaks this verse, do something to Kamsa, Papa. Do something so Kamsa, Papa, will not know that you have taken birth from me. Devaki considers that her son may say, having killed the Maru demon, is it necessary that I kill Kamsa? Fearing this question, Devaki says, O Madhusudan, Kamsa at present is thousands of times more powerful than Maru of the past. Let Kamsa beat me for my offense, but I am desiring only your safety. To which Krishna responds, you have spoken of my powers in the previous verses, but was that all empty words? She replied, right, because, you know, in other words, he's joking the deal. So you said all this about, right, creating everything, no one's equal above, and that says, so was that all empty words? Now you're saying he may cause trouble for me? So she's saying here, she answers, truly, O son, as your mother, I am unsteady of mind. Adhiradhi, do not be sad. This is my fault. I take responsibility. But out of affection for your mother, please withdraw your form. Right? So he's mentioned about her affection for him and why she's thinking like this. But now he's saying, so therefore, out of your affection for your mother, therefore then you make the arrangements. Right? Srila Prabhupada adds, Devaki addressed the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Madhusudana. She was aware that the Lord had killed many demons like Madhu, who are hundreds and thousands of times more powerful than Kamsa. Yet, because of affection for the transcendental child, she believed that Kamsa could kill him. Instead of thinking of the unlimited power of the Lord, she thought of the Lord with affection, and therefore she requested the transcendental child to disappear. Because if he has unlimited power, now how is she his mother? So those don't go well together as rasa. So there can only be a certain amount of the understanding of the Lord and his position before then it has to turn back, you know, towards her affection for him as a mother. Okay, so the Dorkavasis, they have both. So they appreciate his aspect as God, but at the same time, it doesn't go too far. Otherwise, it has to be brought back. Because if it goes too far, then that's the Vaikuntha move. Because in Vaikuntha, they can only see him as God. They can't see him in any other way. But in Dwarka, it's in between sweetness and majesty, so they can see both. But generally, they'll see one or the other. You know, like that. Just like Mother Jashoda, because it's all sweetness, here she's thinking, oh, this demon can come and kill her, him. Mother Jashoda is thinking, if I don't feed him, he'll die. You know, or if I don't correct him and all that, he will grow up and he won't know the proper culture and everything. You understand? Though he's the source of all qualities, but she's thinking, if I don't train him, he won't get the proper, you know, qualities, therefore his behavior will be bad, therefore he won't be able to function properly in society. So, yeah. So this is affection. Affection means it's about the relationship and the interaction. It's not based on necessarily how you say a steadiness of facts. Okay, so that's what she points out. Okay, we all speak loudly here. It's like this. You have two choices. Turn off the fans, talk as quietly as you like, or turn on the fans and speak loudly.
If it is just the Vaikuntha planets, like without them being Ayodhya or like that, then is it only Dasya
Rasa? Dasya and Shanta. There's only those two Rasas. There aren't any other Rasas. Because Lakshmi has a conjugal relationship. But it's only her. It's a formal relationship, so it's all seen in majesty. So it says, Sri Devaki continued, O my Lord, you are the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, and your transcendental forearm form holding conch shell, disc, club, and lotus is unnatural for this world. Please withdraw this form and become just like a natural human child, so that I may try to hide you somewhere. Right? Because otherwise, this full Vishnu form, you can't hide him behind a pillow or something, you know. Yeah, you know, it's like maybe he's hiding there, but you know, his lotus will stick out or the club will stick out the back or you know, something, yeah. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Devaki said, as you pervade the whole universe and I reside within the universe, you also reside within me. How then has this weakness of heart arisen in me? It must be your fault. Thus she addresses the Lord as Vishvatma, soul of the universe. Withdraw this uncommon form and assume a form of a normal human baby, and I will quickly hide you. Srila Prabhupada asks, adds, Devaki was thinking of hiding the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not handing him over to Kamsa as she had all her previous children. Although Vasudeva promised to hand over every child to Kamsa, this time he wanted to break his promise and hide the child somewhere. But because of the Lord's appearance in this surprising forearm form, he would be impossible to hide. So you see, as you have all the factual positions and that are going on, but you see it's this taste of interaction that's the important aspect. Right? And this is going on. Where is this happening? Right? You know, where they're being imprisoned. So it's not like, oh, when all the material facilities are good, then I'll be able to... No, it's just... You know, because rasa means it's all about the interaction. Then the situation, that will then... add to the flavor of the interaction. Right? So for Krishna, it's all about the interaction, since he creates all situations anyway. Devaki continued, "At the time of devastation, the entire cosmos, containing all created moving and non-moving entities, enters your transcendental body and is held there without difficulty. But now this transcendental form has taken birth from my womb. People will not be able to believe this, and I shall become an object of ridicule." Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Devaki considered that Krishna may respond, "Why should I withdraw this form? You should not become proud to attain the Lord of as your son." Fearing these words from the Lord, Devaki speaks, "I do not want fame or position. You hold the universe within the temple, Nishanta, of your body comfortably, Yata Vakshasam. But you have appeared in my womb. Common people will make fun of me, for how is this possible? The neighbors will joke, 'O foolish Devaki, the Lord, who has a gigantic form of thousands of universes, is situated as a sun in your little womb. Are you not ashamed to make this claim? I will not get any fame for this event.'" Here a question arises. How is it that Devaki and Vasudeva, who realize directly with their senses the Supreme Lord, can be afflicted with fear and lamentation arising from ignorance? One should not raise such a question. This fear and lamentation arise from prema of the chit shakti, the internal energy, which is the root of the external energy, and material knowledge and ignorance. This fear is part of vyabhichari bhava. It does not arise from ignorance. Such an idea would attribute fault to prema. Yeah, so the vyabhichari bhavas are when all these other 33 different forms of mood, then transform. They come for a short time.
Transpass.
I don't know. There's some word that they always use. It just means that they come for a short time. Because you notice, they're in the verses, they'll come up one way, then the next verse it's another, then the next verse it's another. So what one may say is, why are they thinking, like, why is this happening? This is because of vyabhichari bhavas. So you'll have a main bhava, the sthayi bhava. And then, depending upon the interaction with the Krishna at the time, it'll create anubhavas, which are then transformations within the mind, and which we will see can have physical effects. But the vyabhichari bhavas then are transitory, that's it. Transitory, that come up for a short moment, you know, for a short time. They come up and then they go down, something else comes up. So those are constantly moving. Does this make sense? So then you'll get these aspects. So it would appear that it's a fault, but it's not. It's because of the transitory symptoms of ecstasy, the vyabhichari bhavas. Yes?
This question always arises in devotees.
Does it?
Not this specific one.
This one.
Should we love our, whatever, siblings, family members, or should we be indifferent to them? And if we do love them, means...
we're totally into it.
Is it material?
Yeah. Do I totally, completely absorb myself so that there's nothing else in the three worlds, or do I completely reject and ignore them and have nothing absolutely on any platform to deal with them?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Everybody asks that question at one point.
What is love?
Service.
Okay. And how do you define the service? How do you define what should be done and what shouldn't be done?
Shastra.
So then how Shastra says once a parent should deal with the child, then that would be the proper service to render.
Actually.
Point is that that's the service to render. You know what I'm saying? Because then, so that answers that aspect of this affection. But as discussed before, what is affection?
In this sense, or in a broader sense?
In the sense that everyone wants to avoid when asking this question.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it about?
Absolutely.
ourself. So in other words, as we were discussing this morning, we're using the form of love, but it's not actually love for that individual. We have that love because of what we gain from it. So that's what I'm saying. So should we love the children? But do you actually love the children? No, you love yourself, and yourself, you see the identity that I am going to be, I deal with children, or I have children. That's part of our identity of our self-love. You know what I'm saying? And these children happen to fit into that very nicely, so therefore it enhances my self-love. So therefore, of course, the more I put in, then the more I get back. Of course, we can't present it like that. We have to present it as all about the kids and this and that. And when we talk about, you know, if we talk about detachment, we'll talk about duties. If we talk about duties, we'll talk about detachment. You know what I'm saying? So, in one sense, yes, you could say the material Vyabhichari bhavans are going on. It's that whichever point you take, the opposite will be taken. You know, because it's just the nature. So the point is that's why the sense of duty is there, is that these things have to be done. Now in that, the duty is not just mechanical, because we said, like this morning, it's brought up. So therefore, if we're doing it out of duty, it must be robotic, because I don't want to do it at all. Right? But the whole point is that the Vedic concept then includes the proper knowledge, the proper attitude, proper action, proper understanding of the results. So that's the problem in the modern, is because there's no attitude, and they don't know the results actually. They don't have the full, in other words, it's weak on all points, but especially on attitude. And so therefore, then it's thought that if I do it out of duty, it will be robotic, because actually I wouldn't want to do any duties. I would just want to do what I feel like doing. You know what I'm saying? So then that's where the difficulty comes up. So, but human means one that can perform duties. Because even though they'll say all these things, you can point out, you know, thousands of areas where they expect certain things to be done by others, but at the same time they don't want to do what Krishna expects from them. That will be robotic, but everybody else, I walked into the room and nobody in the room did what I expected them to do. So I expect them to do it. Why should they be doing it? You know, so it's either out of duty, so they're all robots, or it's because they all have such fabulous love for me and everything, so that's why, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty, is that all the things that we may preach for or against for our own sense gratification is in one sense in line with the scriptures, just it's totally opposed, because the result's not for Krishna, it's for us. So that's why it's called material. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty, is we're unable to bring that aspect properly. So the point is if one is detached from the children, but what's the proper form of dealing with children? We're just talking the form, affection. Okay, so affection then would mean what?
Taking care.
So physically, mentally, intellectually, spiritually, we're going to take care of them. Right? And so then to take care, then how do we do that?
Feeding.
Yeah, but I'm saying, do we do it like a robot? Huh? I mean, if the baby's a robot, then it'd be great, you know, but does that make sense? But otherwise, you know, we see cyborgs look pretty good, right? No? You ever seen an ugly cyborg? No, yes. Yeah, so therefore, the whole point is that we don't have to, we have to come up to the standard. This doubt comes up is because we don't actually know the full understanding. Right? Otherwise, why would it be one or the other? And the two are so opposed to each other. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is that due to lack of actually understanding the mood in which the scriptures are speaking. Because if you're using the form of that, then it's just like, let's say, you have a drama. Okay? And in the drama, okay, let's say we have Romeo and Juliet. Let's make it easy here. Okay? So, Now, the actors, do they actually have affection for each other? No. Like that. At least not that we know of. But in other words, officially, they don't. Okay? Yeah. And, but at the same time is, do they speak the words, or they show the mood and the activities of having affection? Right. And if they do that well, are we happy as audience to the drama? Where are we willing to pay money? Yeah. You understand? So that's the whole thing, is this idea is that if I do it, I have to have attachment, but actors do it every day without attachment. You know what I'm saying? And in fact, a lot of focus and all that goes into entertainment and all that, where people are just acting. Right? And it's considered, you know, one of the, at least in the modern world, one of the more, you know, they're considered celebrities. Right? You know, a very distinguished position. Like that. So the Vedas are just saying, you perform the duties nicely, follow that form. Because we're looking for the reciprocation of the other person. You know what I'm saying? Because technically, just as we love ourselves, not them, they love themselves, not us. But we expect them to act in the way that it looks like they love us. And they're expecting you to act in the way it looks like you love them. Does that make sense? So when we get into this level of discussion, then what happens to all these questions?
Disappear.
Yes, so that's the point. Is that it's just a matter of understand what it is, apply it. You know, like that. Because when you get to the spiritual world, who knows what the relationship will be? It won't be that of parents and children. Like that. The fan formula.
The first thing that comes to mind is that.
Whoa! Impressive! Okay, now we know you can do it. Okay.
In the third canto, we learn that the attachment to devotees and to Krishna and to his devotees is a source of liberation. So between devotees, it's actually, in one sense, it's natural, or it's even beneficial to get attached.
But it's attached based on what?
Yeah, but based on being in relation
it's
to Krishna.
Based on relation to Krishna, but in a family you're getting attached. It doesn't necessarily be based on that.
Yeah, but from today's morning discussion when you said about universal form, and then this made it's something new to me personally, because in that way, the attachment for something is actually being attached to Krishna's universal form, and the jiva who's playing that part within that.
Yes. And we think it's the body that jiva is playing the part in. So in other words, the person gets out their, you know, poofy, you know, how you say, shirt and the vest and the pants and the leather shoes and the buckles up and the little bows at the knees and stands in this, stands on this plain empty stage, but on the second floor there's someone there and they start talking about, you know, whatever they talk about, because I only remember the other lines. Yeah. You know, either about the rose or inquiring about their particular location, because it was before GPS and so like that. So.
Yeah. Getting back to your analogy about the clothes.
Yes. So then, is it the clothes? No, it's the person in the clothes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, as we know, that person that we say is in the clothes, it's not the body, it's the subtle body. But where does that subtle body have those qualities? That's from the universal form. Yeah. So therefore, the primary concept of it, the subtle concept of it, the gross concept of it is all coming from the Lord. And it's the soul that's sitting there playing the part.
Yeah, because getting back to your example about the drama, the actors, they're supposed to act as if there's affection and everything, there's dialogue, but inside, what is the actual relationship? We don't know. But
that we know, at least, if you're from that background, you know it's all that.
But yeah, they may hate each other inside. But between devotees, it's like, sometimes devotees get confused. Am I supposed to be meaningful? Or am I supposed to be indifferent?
But based on what?
Yeah.
No, but what is the duties?
Yeah,
what is your duty? What's the duty?
The duty is protection.
Okay, so then why these other confusions? See, the point is the philosophy is very simple, very straightforward. But we get confused. Why? Because our attachment gets in the way. And so we're trying to figure out different ways to apply that attachment, because we think that attachment, our own, the material attachment, that's going to give us benefit, that's going to make us happy. But we do feel that there's something wrong with that, that's why we've taken up Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, there's still kind of that hope that maybe this time it'll work. So it's like this. If you want to take that fully, then you take the two and put them together. Right? In other words, if you're dealing with somebody, right, because of the, that means one has a material affection, that's why one's dealing, one understands the philosophy, then you understand that that quality within them, that is, how you say, that you're actually attracted to is Krishna, not the body. So, since what you're interacting with and you're dealing with, and if you have duties towards that particular form, in that particular relationship, but that potency of that is Krishna, then you're going to play the part or the role of that, in other words, the duties of that, because it's the way Krishna likes to be dealt with in that form. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is you're playing the role of doing that. You understand? But what gets in the way, as we saw before, is the attachment to karma and jnana. Because if it's for me, I'm totally attached, I'm into it. If I'm not, why should I do anything? So karma and jnana are the questions. It's being thought this is a spiritual doubt. It's not. It's a totally material doubt. Because it's either karma or jnana, as we saw. It's not, there's not, how you say, there are no shades in between. It's extreme one way or extreme the other way. Because one way is karma, the other way is jnana. Right? And when we say jnana, then that means the impersonal. No senses, no relationships, no interaction, no nothing. And if we say karma, it's all about what I can squeeze out of it. So therefore, I go into it totally going for it. You understand? So it's not that these are actually spiritual doubts, right? It's material doubts that come up in the pursuance of spiritual endeavor. Right? That's why they're called anarthas, because they're actually material. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just a matter of they're playing the role, because here, does God have a mother and father? No. He's God. He's the source of everything. He can't. Right? It means that there is no beginning. There is no middle end. He's just, he exists, he is who he is. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So, therefore, they're playing the roles, but it's based on that affection for him. So it goes nicely. But here, we play the roles nicely because of our own affection for ourselves. So what we're trying to do is learning to switch from playing the role nicely because of our own attachments, or playing the role properly because of the affection for Krishna. Yes.
Can we say that this misunderstanding arises because devotees don't really know the idea of duties in the real sense?
On one sense, yes, you could say.
They want to be natural, so-called.
Natural means this. This is natural. Go into the bathroom. Anything that's in a bottle, a tube, or a little pot, or anything like that, take it all, put it in a big black plastic bag, and throw it out. Because natural means your hair just grows, the bacteria in your skin just grows, it all just happens. That's natural. Look at the animals. You know, you understand? That's natural. You know what I'm saying? Living under a tree, now that's natural. You know what I'm saying? So, when they say natural, it means, no, I only want to do what I'm attached to. That's actually the translation of being natural. It has nothing to do with this is the proper, because how do you define natural? You know, if you see your cat out on the fence, you know, singing Italian opera, is that natural? No. Okay. Like that. And the dogs are up there singing German opera, right? You know, that would be... That's natural. Yeah. Yes. Does that make sense? So, yes. So, the whole point is natural is defined by Scripture because human being is natural. You don't want to be a human. Then you can say, as doing these things aren't natural for me, but then you have to admit, because I'm an animal. Don't try to cover it by some other flowery language, which is basically always the case. You know? Does that make sense? You know, because it's like you had that thing with Govindadasu, right? And Prabhupada was talking about brown rice. He said brown rice is for animals. And Govindadasu said, I must be an animal because I like brown rice. You know, so Prabhupada just laughed because of her innocence, because people don't do that. Don't try to say, why you say it's for animals, this and that, you know, the health and this and that, and so many things, and white rice this, and this rice that, and they'll just go on and on. All they want to say is, I'm an animal, I like brown rice. You know, the discussion's over. You know what I'm saying? But people, they're trying to maintain their prestige and all that, because it says, what is the demon thing? The demoniac mentality is that, you know, I'm from a prestigious background, my family is prestigious, I'm the most prestigious, you know, I'm wealthy, I'm well known, I'm respected, I've removed my enemies, you know, I'm the best. You know what I'm saying? So one has to be careful not to be caught up in that. So the point is Prabhupada, you know, from when he started discussing on, you know, 26 Second Avenue, there he's been introducing, talking about Varnashram. You know, like that. Just lightly there, but from the 70s, very strongly. But people don't take it. So how do they know what their duties are? How do they know what to do? How do they know what's proper? What's appropriate? So therefore, each individual family will make up their own rules. And if we want to be realistic, each member of the family makes up their own rules. Because if you're going to have the whole family agree, that means there must be a common standard. But if we're working on the principle, I do what I like, what I feel like, that means every member of the family has a different idea. You know what I'm saying? That's why, you know, the mom's doing what she did, father's doing what he did, the teenage girl's, you know, in her room doing what she does, and the boys, he can't figure out what he should do, right? You know, so, like that. So it's all going on. This is what's going on. So there is no standards for such people because it's just what they feel like, which is how animals work. You know what I'm saying? So the point is, one can't correct the situation because the individual has to be able to identify where they are. You know what I'm saying? Someone got in their car, they were driving from New York to Jersey, and somehow or another they start seeing all kinds of flashing lights, lots of sand out in the desert, you know, like that, and a sign says, you know, welcome to Las Vegas. Then they'll try to say, no, it's not possible, it's not true. No, I did like this, it's wrong, something must be wrong here. I've done everything perfect. Right? But if he realizes, I'm in Vegas, you know, that's about, 10 states away from where I'm supposed to be, then he can look at the map, figure out what road they're supposed to take to get to Jersey. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So, but if they say no, I'm on, you know, this part of Manhattan, they'll never get to Jersey. So that's the thing. If they identify, I'm behaving like an animal, that's why this problem is here, and if I take up human life, then I'll be able to get somewhere. Then you can do something. Because otherwise, all this talk about being wonderful and nice that's been going on for the last now, 20 years, is the whole social scene and family scene, is it all improved? Like in the 90s, sometimes families would still sit together and eat dinner. But is that going on now? No. So the whole thing is how has it improved? How is it better? The divorce rate was less then than it is now. So that's the whole thing. It's not working. So that's the first thing to take is, since it doesn't work, then what does work? Because we see these people, they're doing okay. Husband and wife are still together and they're in their prison. They haven't killed each other yet. So there must be something going right here. Right? You know, the Pandavas and Draupadi are out in the forest. Right? They haven't killed each other. So I'm saying something's going right. So that's then what we should start to inquire into. So if we do that, then we can figure out where we are. And then from there, yes, we can say, I'm in this platform, but now I know which way to go. It'll start to improve, even though we still may be functioning at that subhuman platform. But we know which direction is up. And so then we can move forward. And the only real purpose to move forward is Krishna consciousness. Because otherwise, just to have nice families and this and that, then if that's all they want, then everybody should be really pleased with Hindus. You know, they follow the thing, they got the family scene happening, and they kind of know about Krishna, and they'll drop in on the temple on Janmashtami. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes they're not seen in such a great light, so that's the point. The piety is only of value if it's Krishna conscious. If you have that piety without Krishna consciousness, you have Hindus. And if you think you're going to follow the Western paradigm and be pious and be happy and be Krishna conscious, then that's what we're calling, that's Dvaita. That's an illusion. Does that make sense? Yes.
Devotees are attached to, you're saying, based on devotional service, the relationship is, or you know, to the other person, but they're attached to certain devotees only. They're attached to a certain guru. You know, they pick that's my guru. You know, that these are my devotees.
Yeah, but because we're persons. The relationships are personal. If we say, no, we love everybody, who's this everybody? That's impersonal. So the modern concept of being wonderful and nice and fabulous is totally impersonal. It's directly impersonal. What's being discussed today is, no, but we have to love everybody, who's this everybody?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying more that I'm thinking that it's based on the conditioning that they love these type of devotees.
No, but first catch the point.
Yeah.
Personal means you have a nature.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, then you are going to associate with your nature.
Yeah.
Right? Because in the transcendental realm, they all have, by nature, it's one of the inherent qualities of the living, of the soul, is friendship.
Yeah.
So in the spiritual world, it's manifest naturally. They all have their relationship in a particular rasa with Krishna. With all other living entities, they have a relationship of friendship. Right? So now, that relationship is based on, because you have common values, which is Krishna. Therefore, you have friendship with all living entities. But those who have that affection for Krishna in the same line or same style, the same mood as you, that's where you're going to have the closer relationships.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
So that's a natural position to have that.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So when that comes across in the material world, that will have the same element as those who are appreciating Krishna consciousness and who practice Krishna consciousness in a similar way, you will associate with them closer than someone who has a completely different way of dealing. You understand?
So why can't you say the same thing about your choice of partner? Like husband and wife. It's
system, a conjugal system, comes from the spiritual world also. It's an extension of friendship. It's like the sound.
I'm getting lost here in what you're. What the purpose is to the question.
Well, I'm trying to find out.
You ask the purpose of your question.
I'm trying to find out how, is it based on conditioning? Or like, what's the difference between conditioning and being personal? Because if I say, like, husband and wife relationship, then you will say, oh, that's because of conditioning. But if I say friendship, then you say that's because of being personal.
No, I was trying to avoid the mundane approach of the question that we're trying to say, if we're dealing with based on our conditioning, we're associating with certain devotees, so we should go beyond our conditioning, and therefore there is no certain devotees, it's just all devotees. But that's impersonal.
No, that's not where I was coming from. I was trying to understand the difference between choosing based on conditioning and choosing based on being personal.
The point is what are you going to use in Krishna's service?
Your nature.
Which is coming from where?
Your previous activities.
Okay. So now, if you're going to do an activity and cooperate, you have to have something that works. Let's say I have a lug wrench and I have a spoon. Do those two go together?
No.
What about a spoon and a bowl? Or a lug wrench and a wheel. You understand? So the point is it may be due to conditioning, but those who have a similar conditioning and a similar value in Krishna consciousness, you can work together in Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
So that's why then you choose your friends, choose your partners, choose all that kind of stuff.
Okay, and your job.
Yes. But that's the basis of it. If you're just looking at it from the conditioning only, you can do that and things will work nicely, but you'll stay in the material world. So one has to see that one's making these choices based on how they'll be advantageous to Krishna consciousness.
Okay.
But the point is you're working with the same, a similar nature.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, if the natures are different, it's not going to work out. Does that make sense? Yes.
You said in the Vyasa some length if the wife like wants like doesn't want to do anything with mantra stuff until like death. So then is
until death.
So then is the duty of the husband like to say okay and just like.
No, but what do you mean by vanaprastha here? Death I kinda understand. Unless you're talking about chocolate or something. Then that I also understand. What do you mean by vanaprastha here?
That we focus more on just conscious activities and reduce the activities of the Hasta life.
So what's the problem?
But the life does, like, it just wants to continue, you know, like, as it was, you know,
As it was. The kids are grown up and gone. How is it as it was? The house now looks very big and empty. How is it as it was? How you say? As one lady, how you say? Explained to me when I was 16 and she was older. It says, whatever's here goes here, whatever's here. So she just kept going down. So, how is it as it was?
Sometimes there are no children.
So, you're being very specific here. So, the question comes is that, is it all about expanding the family scene?
Like that.
So, more and more saris, more and more gold, more and more pots and pans, and bigger and bigger house.
Bigger and bigger apartment.
Bigger and bigger apartment. If they want to clean it, what does it matter?
But basically, the duty of the husband is to like support. Yeah?
The point is you're a team, so you have to move at the speed of the other person. You ever heard of a three-legged race? No. You get two people, and you tie, you know, two of their feet together. Does that make sense? So now, if they're going to run, you know, they have to cooperate. So you have to move at the speed of the other person. So that's what you're dealing with. Not that the person who's faster can't go faster, but what's the advantage of going faster?
You need to wait.
Huh?
You need to wait.
Yeah, you just... Does that make sense? But discussions and this and that and so like that. So the focus is on communication. If that's good, then everything works. If that's not good, then that needs some work. Because if you can't discuss, then what's the whole point? But you move at the speed of whoever's, whatever the attachments are there. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Because going that way, we look at it and go, oh, this is not going great. What if the wife just wants to stay all day in the temple and cook, and the husband can take some Mahaprasad home and microwave it? Then are we going to be saying the same thing, or are we going to say, no, but the wife has duties and this and that, and you got to follow the husband, and, you know, all these kind of niceties. But when it's the other way, well, not advanced, this and that, attached, you know, like this, and so what are we supposed to do? You understand? So in other words, don't worry. There are so many things that the husband, if we talk to that same wife, she'll be saying the same thing. Yeah, he's so attached, he wants this, and he wants that, and all that, but I would rather just be doing this, you know, more devotional, but, you know, as a family, then we try to, you know what I'm saying? You can almost guarantee that. You know what I'm saying?
There was a French movie about it.
There was a French movie about that?
Yeah. I don't remember the title of the movie, but it was two parts. One part was retold by a man of the situation.
Oh, okay.
And another one was retold by the woman. The
same situation.
Same.
So they went through and she's explaining it, and you're seeing her. Yeah, yeah.
It was a fabulous
You know that one?
I'm not seen. I can imagine.
Yeah, he says, I haven't seen it, but they did come and spend a long time discussing with me and my wife when they were making the screenplay. Yeah. You understand? It's like that. You talk to the man, this. You talk to the woman, exactly the same, this. It's just slightly different perspective on who's got the problem. Who knows? I mean. So you know, that's why the communication is there and the discussions, and but it moves at the speed of whatever it is and the mood of whatever's going on. So if there's a mood of attachment, we discuss it that way. If the mood comes the other way, then you move that way. That's detachment. And to not be able to do that, that's attachment. Does that make sense? So the men who are detached, then they should be able to deal and work with the environment of attachment that the wife is in. Because they're detached. It makes it easier. So if you're attached, then you can't deal in that because you have another area you'd rather deal in. You understand? You're detached. What do you care?
It takes an awful lot of time. I mean, the whole
Yeah, then you should. Then one should figure that out at that juncture in time between 16 and 30. That's why there is the option of Naistika Brahmachari. You understand? It means that's what they've been saying the whole time. So if you go for it, it's a package deal. You know what I'm saying? How do you say it? You don't get the Ferrari without paying for the, you know, $20,000 tires. You know, you can't put the $100 Fiat 500 tires on them. I mean, you could, but probably the bottom of the car would drag, so, you know. Does that make sense? So it all goes together. So that's why they're talking about getting married, and that, let's say, like when you're 25, and they say that then you're starting to look at moving on to the next ashram when you're 50. So that's 25 solid years. You start a little earlier than that, then it adds a few more years onto it. Does that make sense? So that's why these timings are there. You move at the speed of whatever is going on. Does that make sense?
Japanese movie,
it's a Japanese movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now we have a French movie and now a Japanese movie.
So it's relevant in the sense that there was a murder investigation when the husband, the samurai was dead, and the wife and the killer, they were having different stories. And then they asked for the soul of the dead samurai to come, and he told a different story. And that investigator was like completely shocked by the whole thing, and he went to some priest, some Buddhist, and he said that there's no objective reality, which basically means atheism, because nobody, like, there's no objective reality, everyone will have a different story. And then I heard, like, also on lecture a few weeks ago, that Krishna is the only, like, has the only objective vision. So even in that case scenario, then Mataji should be very attached to external environment and material development, but maybe inside she is thinking, I can't do nothing about it, I'm so attached, I pray to Krishna that I remove that attachment, and to move, he may be willing to go or desiring to be detached, but internally he has some different idea. So ultimately it's like that sage and prostitute where it's like he was always criticizing her and she was always praying to Krishna to, like, for her own, like, job, and then ultimately
sage and the prostitute.
Brahmana,
yeah. Because the sage couldn't care less. Right? See, that's why the Shastra, that's the objective reality. And then you have to see what you're dealing with. And the only way to adjust something is connecting it to Krishna. So therefore, having a bigger place and connecting that to Krishna, that's the only way to purify it. Or connect what you have now to Krishna and then see if that works. But the point is, the only thing is connecting things to material desire to Krishna, that's where it gets purified. And then proper sadhana and everything else, then that's going to have the most dynamic effect. And then things will move at whatever speed they move. Does that make sense?
It is the only solution to connect it to Krishna.
Sorry?
It is the only solution.
Yes, to connect it to Krishna.
Any situation, any problem.
Yeah.
Right? He was saying that there is no point in fighting your own nature instead of engaging it in Krishna consciousness.
No, you can't fight your own nature.
So many people try.
And how successful are they?
Total disaster.
Yeah, so that's the whole point, is you just... It's just what is the nature, then you see what would be its appropriate form in its engagement in Krishna service. So when we say nature, we don't mean uncultured, we mean what is the knowledge and skills and abilities, where would that be placed, how would that be applied? And so, therefore, the more purified that is, the easier it will be to use it. So we don't mean nature, meaning their own culture. Many people take it, but that's the nature. That's not nature, that's called their culture. Nature is what kind of activities you can perform to maintain yourself, what kind of situations are best for you to be in to perform your devotional service. Being uncultured is just uncultured, that's it.
And the second point from here would be, we take that and then people might ask that there
might
is
ask. Just possibly might.
I've heard those questions. There is a zone of comfort zone.
A comfort zone.
And Prabhupada always said that we have to push ourselves a little bit out of this comfort zone to be more Krishna conscious.
Mm-hmm.
But then it goes a little bit in the, so you have to engage your nature in one sense.
But comfort is your attachment, not what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? See, it's that, let's say, one is lazy. That's not a nature. That's the mode of ignorance. Right? Let's say someone is a carpenter. Okay? But if they're lazy, that's not a nature. They're a carpenter. It's that laziness is a quality that should be gotten rid of. But that's where they are at present, so they are a lazy carpenter. So now they have to push themselves a little bit to try to be a little less lazy, but not more than they can handle, but not just sitting in their so-called comfort zone, because their comfort zone is definitely no one else's comfort zone. You know, because what you have to remember is your comfort zone most likely doesn't relate to anyone else. You know what I'm saying? So, does that make sense? Yeah. So it's a matter of pushing yourself as much as you can handle. But knowing when you can push more, you push more. When you can't, you push less. But being aware of it, then you'll start to see, if I push less, then you'll be aware, was that actually the correct thing? And then you'll start to see, no, I could have pushed more. Or, no, this was good for now. And then you again. But you have to be conscious of it and be analyzing it. But otherwise, if your comfort zone is, you know, how you say, complete vegetableness, then there's a problem. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Yes.
So what's the, in relation to this question, what, like, there is the, you know, sarva dharma pratyaya, and there is pushing gradually as you can manage it.
Yeah, but you're not changing the nature, you're purifying. So pushing means, comfort zone means you're pushing your position to a more purified state. Not that you're changing the nature, you're pushing to a more purified state.
Yeah. But so that's an alternative. That's if you can't surrender everything right now, then you do that way. Is that what you're saying?
No, but if you're... No. Means that's the process to get there. But when you get to fully surrendered, then it will still look the same. Arjuna, in that position of Sarva Dharma Padityaja, what duty did he perform?
Accepting.
Yeah. So therefore, it's a matter of the consciousness that defines. Am I doing this? Say, he's doing his Kshatriya work because of his attachment to Kshatriya work. Right? That's just karma. Right? Now, then his seeing that the weakness in that and what this particular attachment to the Kshatriya Dharma, the difficulties it's gotten them into, and that they don't actually have any real value, then he moves to Gyan and just rejects it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Krishna doesn't recommend either of them.
Yeah.
What he's recommending is that you're performing your duties as a Kshatriya, but because they're pleasing to Krishna.
Yeah.
Right, so when it's fully, I'm doing this just to please Krishna, that's Sarva Dharma Pratityaja. And if I'm doing this partly for myself, partly for Krishna, that's mixed devotional service.
So where is the slowly pushing thing coming?
The pushing is that we're the lazy guy and we're trying to become an active guy.
Okay.
But so his nature of being a carpenter is not going to change.
Okay. Because
see, in other words, you're going to bring yourself up from ignorance to passion to goodness, right? Mm-hmm. Those in ignorance, then it's recommended they get themselves to passion. What's the best way to get themselves to passion? Getting married. Mm-hmm. Right? Because even though you in ignorance would be happily sitting around doing absolutely nothing, somehow, strangely enough, the person you marry is not very satisfied with that position. So they push you to do more. And then from doing more and being dutiful, then like this, then you start to see with knowledge, then you can bring yourself to goodness, that I'm doing this because these are my duties that I'm supposed to be doing. But then, I should be doing these duties simply to please Krishna, because these duties come from Krishna. Right? And for therefore the purpose of pleasing Krishna, that brings you to pure goodness. So that's where you're pushing.
Okay, so because you were saying that you can become Krishna conscious in just 1 minute.
One moment, he said.
Moment.
Yeah.
So the.
You can. It's not necessary. But
pushing needs to happen if that doesn't happen.
Means it's either you basically you come in contact with Krishna consciousness and you fully surrender on the spot. Then that's that one.
That's happening. If that doesn't happen, then.
Then you follow sadhana bhakti.
Yeah.
So it's a practice. So that means practice means you take it how far you can.
Mm-hmm. Because the first one
means if we're sitting here, there's a good chance it hasn't happened. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
About
pushing.
Pushing.
Pushing. Yeah, just make sure that how you say? It's easier on. Actually, no. They both have their advantage. I was going to say it's easier pushing on the non-European door, continental European doors that open inward. But then you have a problem if they could go against the door and you can't get the door open. Once you got the door open, you have their back to the door. You can keep pushing the door and get them out. But if you have the continental European door that opens out, then you just push them up to the door and keep pushing and they're out the door. You just have to make sure the timing's right to catch it, pull it in, and close it. That doesn't answer your question. Okay.
That somebody else.
But you push at what speed they can be pushed, because if you push too much, then they get too grumpy. You don't push enough, then they think that they're doing great. So you have to push enough to get them aware of doing better is there, but at the same time as you have to push at a balance that they feel comfortable that they are accomplishing something. So you have to balance between the, you know, how fabulous they are and how they're complete, you know, useless bum they are. You have to somehow know to balance that. And be resigned to the fact that what you thought would take X amount of time may take a bit longer. Okay. Because if you get impatient, they won't work. But if you're not enthusiastic, then nothing happens. So therefore, there's a lot of considerations. You understand? So as we see, is that as we've been pointing out these various views, then the women have their austerities, the men have theirs. Like that. Does that make sense? And they each match their position. You know what I'm saying? So you're trying to balance who's in control, trying to make it look like they're not in control, and who thinks they're in control, but they're not actually in control. And you're trying to get that to balance. Does that make sense? Yes. looks
about
like.
The Grihastha Vanaprastha duties, when we are Grihastha, the kids are small, so you have to do all the time, like busy with the kids, cooking, cleaning. But then after that, they grow and kind of different things. So our focus can be only for most in sadhana and studies. And if we don't cook so much, so this is...
No, but the point is not cooking so much, what is that for? Because technically, how long does it take to cook?
1 hour.
1 hour, that means everything. Preparing.
You know, 2 hours, 3, 4. Mine is
40. Wow. I was going to say 45 minutes. And I know people who can cook quicker.
Well, if you have everything ready, yes. Different preparations.
See, the thing is create variety makes simple, right? But the point is in that time that you're not cooking, will you be doing sadhana? Or it's just a comfort for you that you would rather not be cooking? No. That's what you have to define.
Second one.
Huh?
Second one.
Yeah, it's the second one.
No.
First of all. So you're chanting like 2 lakhs of rounds a day because you got that 2 hours a day now, so that means 2 hours for lunch, 2 hours for dinner,
really,
breakfast, okay.
Yes, it's the morning, so no breakfast. So, something more simple. So more
but the point is simple doesn't mean it's not nice. Simple doesn't mean it's bad. There's a lot of preparations that are simple that are really good. So that's the whole point. It's depending upon the nature of the couple and what is their particular, taste in whatever's happening, then it's about finding something that matches that. You know what I'm saying? Cook less preparations that are nicer. You know? Focus on simple ones. Or mostly simple, one more elaborate. You know what I'm saying? You just have to find what works. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of that. Because the point is people have to eat. Right? You know what I'm saying? And the problem is that by the time Domino's gets out here, the pizza's cold anyway, so that's not really an option. Does that make sense? I say, following the rule is, if we don't deliver it within 3 hours, then you get it for free. So, but it's cold, so why bother? You know what I'm saying? So you have to figure that out and balance it yourself. You can't go from, that's the whole thing you do, is always cook nice, do everything like that, and everybody relates to you because you're the person who cooks everything nice, and now you've decided that I'm not going to cook everything nice. It's like that. In other words, if you never presented that, then you don't have to worry about it. In other words, how you presented yourself, then that's the identity that is there, that's the relationship that has to be maintained. So therefore you can simplify it, but it has to be nice. If it's been one of those things, you have a couple that neither of them could, boil water without burning it, and so they never even get into that. Just whatever they pick up from here and there, then somehow or another, then they sit down and eat that, with their plastic spoon and all that, then it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? But we can't present ourselves so that when we have something to gain from it, then we do so that, and then when it's not, then we pull that back. You have to be very careful. You have to see that the mood is balanced. It's not that you can't simplify, but because point is cooking for 5 and cooking for 2, it takes a bit less time. So already you've saved some time. Now it's just a matter of finding what things work. Because the guy, if you have something that works and he likes, you can basically cook it practically every day. Now, if you're cool with that, then it works. Now, if not, you want variety, then that's because of you, not because of him. You know what I'm saying? So there's a good chance he could eat his rice and black beans every day. Right? Is that what it is? So that's the thing, is then you have to work into there. It's not because I don't feel like it, therefore no one eats. You know, you cook the rice and black beans, and if you don't want to eat, go ahead, don't eat. That way you get your variety. Or put the beans on the plate and sprinkle the rice on top. Or, you know, how you say, drink the beans and then eat the rice out of a bowl with chopsticks or something. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So you just have to find what's going to work. Because it's a gradual process. Just like there's 25 years for Grihastha, there's 25 years for Vanaprastha. You know, to get it where it works. Right? So it takes time.
What comes first? The activities or the mood in Vanaprastha?
The mood. The mood. Because if you adjust the activities without adjusting the mood, what benefit would that be?
But if you're not ready yet, let's say, but you want to try.
Then try.
So that means activity will go first. And then,
then you see if it works, yeah. But then, but there's an attitude that you wouldn't even consider trying. Mm-hmm. That's still attitude. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of just seeing what works. The idea is to try to slowly put more emphasis on direct activities of devotional service and less on, you know, the things of expanding family life. That's the idea, is that from a young age, when arranges all these things, makes all these things, does all the, you know, how you say, the pravarga stuff, mm-hmm. you know, foaming at the mouth and the whole thing, so that you have all the facilities, so that when you're 50 now, you can kind of start to pull back, because it's enough. Right? Does that make sense? So then you can start to pull back from that. It's just that now the time that went into expanding, that's the time. You know, like that. Does that make sense? So that time is left. So that means we have to see where we're targeting. You know, how you say, when the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. That's the one thing you can start to cut down, is Vanaprastha. You know, like that. Does that make sense? You know, more facilities, new couches, new curtains, new this and that. Those things can be reduced. Does that make sense? You know, more ornaments, more. You understand? So it's not as much as that's reduced. That's where you get your time. So instead of driving into Calcutta, you know, once a week, you know, you're going to Calcutta once every 3 months or something. You know, like that. You know, that's fine. See, already so much you reduce. You understand? So you have to see where it is. Not don't target cooking is the first thing, because that's the central point. That's where everybody eats. You know, we're going to cut down on eating so we can chant our rounds, but we're going to Calcutta. You know, yeah. So you understand? So it's just a matter of figuring out, or working out things, how to do things like that. That's why you see in Indian households, they have things like teplas and other jazz like that. You know. Achar. You make a paratha and you eat achar. The achar's already there. You know what I'm saying? Life's, you know, there's the simple thing. So breakfast is the only one. Lunch isn't so much of a problem, because there's not necessarily a whole lot of things happening in the middle of the day. You know, in the evening also a bit less. Morning, yes, so that's why breakfast is more of a simple thing. But that's why in the Vedic thing, it is all simple. It is simple. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, Bengalis will eat what? Like some panta bhat or something, right? You just need the leftover rice from last night and some achar. Right? You know, or if they're North Indian, then a couple of chapatis and the achar. And if you're from Orissa, then you'll throw a little yogurt into your pantabat. In South India, you have grandmothers. Because all they do is do sadhana and cooking. So the cooking stays.
But they're cooking for the Lord, so it's part of the sacrifice.
Yeah, yeah. That's also a point. But, now that's a good point. You're cooking for Krishna. But if the morning's a problem, keep that simple and do more for lunch and dinner. But you have to remember that it's for the Lord. Huh?
No dinner.
No dinner. That's all. Cook more for lunch. Just reheat it. But if you're cooking for Krishna, then what's the problem? Right? We have to remember, Dadati krati prati grinati, guhyam akriti prichati, bhunte bhojayate. These three are the Vaishnavas associated. So confidential discussions, what we talked about before, like that, food and gifts. So by the confidential discussions, you can work out what are the gifts. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay. What is the proof that prema is beyond maya? Right? Because we brought up that there's this attachment and these other things, and then those are a fault in the material world. So what is the proof that prema, which manifests all these aspects of attachment and all these different emotions and all, how can we prove that it's beyond maya, that it's transcendental? Right? That's the doubt that may come up. One must certainly accept that the Lord is controlled by prema. If prema is maya, then the Lord would be controlled by maya, right? And we know that it's already been established, that she's established before. He's beyond maya. He's in control of maya, so he can't be controlled by maya. But he's controlled by prema. So that means prema can't have maya. This is explained elsewhere as well. Bhakti-amam abhijanati. I am known only by devotion. In the words of the Lord himself, he is known only by devotion, the prema. Bhakti is of three types. Guni, Bhuta, Pradhani, Bhuta, and Kevala. The results are also different. From Guni, Bhuta, Bhakti comes Jnana. From Pradhana, Bhuti, Bhakti, Bhuta, Bhakti, comes Jnanamoya, Rati. And from Kevala, Bhakti comes Prema. Right? Got that? Okay. Guni Bhuta is also okay. From Jnana, okay, comes from Jnana Mai Rati. Okay. Through Jnana one realizes the Brahman, Chit Shuka Mayam. Through Jnana Mai Rati one realizes the Lord in Majesty, Chit Aishwarya Mayam. And through Prema one realizes the sweet aspect of Krishna, Rama and others, Madhurya Mayam. Srila Prabhupada's commentary on this paragraph reveals thusly. Okay, that what we're talking about. Okay, bhakti is a few types. Right? In other words, there's bhakti where we're interested in, coming to the transcendental platform, the Brahman platform, or the what comes from being situated beyond the material world. Right? Then there's what situated beyond the material world and you appreciate the Lord in majesty. Then there's what's beyond that, which is then in prema. Yeah. Or, yeah. Srila Prabhupada comments, bhakti may be considered in three stages called Guni, Bhuta, Pradhani, Bhuta, and Kevala. And according to these stages, there are three divisions, which are called Jnana, Jnana Mayi, and Rati, or prema. That is simple knowledge, love mixed with knowledge, and pure love. Right? So you have that knowledge, you have the knowledge of the material world, then without interacting with the material world, based on attachment, you can't free yourself from that. So it's based on simple knowledge. Because it's just knowledge of the material world and how, you know, the nature of the soul and how that works. It's not based on the complete knowledge of Krishna and his relationship with the devotees. That's why it's called simple knowledge. Right? And then love mixed with knowledge means they have love for the Lord or that prema, but because it is, mixed with the knowledge of his position, there's majesty. So that's why then, in this case, in this definition, it's not called prema, because it has that knowledge aspect to it. So therefore, then it has that, what was it called? Jnanamai Rati. Right? There's attraction to the Lord, Rati, but it has that aspect of jnana. Right? So that's Vaikuntha. Does that make sense? So in this case, because we know that anyone in the spiritual world is on the platform of prema. But here, when we're using it in this context, then prema means kevala. Means it's only about pleasing the Lord. Huh? Yes.
But these three stages we talk in this is in this material.
Means those who are practicing within devotional service, yes.
But this jnana, simple knowledge.
Right.
It would be the Vaikuntha mood or just the...
It's the Brahman mood. It's before that. It's just the Brahman part.
So can we say it's the beginning? Or would it be the end result?
No, it may be someone's end result, but it can't be the ultimate end. Not the position of the soul. But for when we set a stage, we go by what our end result is.
You know what I'm saying? That would be just impersonalism.
Not necessarily. It can be just the Shanta Rati, is that aspect. It has that mix because it's mixed with Jnana.
So it means when we talk about here, we talk about bhakti only, and this is the good.
That's right, yes. Okay. Yes, yes. That's why it says bhakti is of three types.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So here we're not even talking about those who are performing bhakti Mr. Karma or bhakti Mr. Jnana. We're talking about those. Because have you not met, let's say, a devotee mentions that, you know, they're just... They really want to get out of the material world, and you know, when will Krishna, you know, like this. So that's, they're interested in that, the part of getting out of the material world. But the point is, you get out, now what? You know what I'm saying? So that, then they'll have to learn when they get there. So it may be enough to get them out of the material world, because if they remember Krishna, they'll go back to Godhead. But once they get there, then now they have to learn how to move forward to prema. Well, if you're working, but moving forward to prema already includes that. So if we just focus on that, it will be more difficult than if we focus on bhakti. Right? In other words, if we're focusing on being detached, it's going to be harder than if we're focusing on trying to be attached to Krishna. Means we're, of course, being aware of anarthas and that, so we don't do things that are going to get in the way. But it's not... The point of the anartha is not the detachment, and that's the good part. It's that it gets in the way of devotional service. That's why it's removed. Does that make sense? It's a slightly different perspective. So when we're looking at it, getting rid of the bad qualities, developing the good qualities, that's that platform of jnana. We're focusing more on the tools used in bhakti than on the bhakti. I mean, it's being done for Krishna. There is that bhakti element, but there's the emphasis is too much on that, right? Because it's just how to get out. Then we see about the greatness of the Lord and all that. Then the devotion gets mixed with that. So it's not simple knowledge. It's a greater knowledge, right? So simple knowledge, then knowledge, right? Then that creates then the understanding of Krishna's position and how he's God and all that. So that'll bring about majesty. But when it's just out of that love for Krishna, right? Does that make sense? Yes. So in this case, we're taking it, what we would call pure unalloyed devotion, as just, you know, as pure devotion here. Right? Does that make sense?
First one can we say could be devotion, pure unalloyed?
Yeah, you could, in that way, from that context, you could look at it. But at the same time, as it's the first two, it's the knowledge is more prominent. Well, in the last one, it's about Krishna, but it's not that they don't have knowledge. It's not the prominent thing. like you see in you know, we'll see later as we come up, there's situations where Nanda Baba is talking all this philosophy and quoting from Bhagavad Gita and all these different things. But it's all about some other aspect of appreciating Krishna. So it's not about the knowledge. It's just they use the knowledge. You know what I'm saying? It's just like someone who is naturally good at something and using the facilities of that thing, and the person who's not, and it's all about the facilities. Does that make sense? So it's just... It's the same thing, but it's just the emphasis is different. Is that sort of sense? Loudly, remember the...
Chitsukha Maya and Chitashraya Maya comes before Prema. So can we say that Chitsukha Maya would be Karma Yoga, Chitashraya Maya would be Jnana Yoga, and then Madhurya Maya would be Bhakti Yoga? All in all, you become a Prema Bhakti.
Where are those ones?
It's
the Bhakti is
three types,
the last three types. The Guni Bhuta.
Chitsukha Maya and Chitashraya Maya.
Where is that?
It's like
through
Jnana one
realizes
the
Brahman.
That's what
previous
day.
95? We're on 95, through Jnana. Mm-hmm. Brahman is Guni Bhuta. Chitsukha Maya is Guni Bhuta Bhakta.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jnana Mai Rati, which is what do you call it? You know, is then is Pradani Bhuta Mai.
Yes.
And one realizes one's in Chit Aishwarya Mayam. Right?
Yes.
So those three go together. And then Prema is Kevala.
Yes.
But he's just said that. So Guni Bhuta and Chitsukha Mayam are the same.
Yeah.
Pradani Bhuta and Jnana Mai Rati and Chit Aishwarya Mayam, those are all the same. And then Kevala and Prema are the same. Is that sort of good? Yes.
Alright, if you consider all the atrocities that are going on in the world, all the really nasty things that people do to each other and animals and everything, then it's really hard to imagine that one can completely be doing something just for the love of Krishna without any wanting to relieve themselves from such situation.
Why would that be?
Because...
No, but what's terrible about the material world?
No, I'm saying that these people are like...
No, but I'm saying what's the principle behind it?
Their bad karma.
And why is there bad karma?
Because they didn't do...
Didn't do?
Yajna.
Yoga.
Yajna.
Yajna. And then what defines yajna? Sorry?
Sacrifice.
Okay, sacrifice, but then the scriptures. Krishna gives the scriptures. Mm-hmm. So in other words, not following the path given by Krishna,
yeah,
then you get so much terrible stuff.
Yeah.
Right? So if you follow what's doing what Krishna gives, then where's the terrible stuff?
No, but what I'm saying is from the perspective of the person who's going through this thing, it's hard for... I can't imagine that they would just be like, I'm just going to do everything for Krishna and not want to get out of that position that they're in.
But why not? Because if you're absorbed in Krishna, you're already happy. So what do you... The situation is not the problem. Because whatever you say is terrible, someone else will say is fabulous.
I'm talking about like wars and things.
We're not talking about the Jewish couple, I mean Jewish family, being absolutely naked, being marched through the snow by the German officer, taken over to the trench, and then tell them to crawl into the trench on top of the already dead people, and then shooting them.
Yeah, I'm talking about that.
Yeah, and how much of that is going on in your life or anybody that you know? So why bring these things up?
Because
You understand? No one's going through that kind of stuff.
I mean,
the stuff that they're going through is, so, you know, they go to the market and they didn't have broccoli. You know, or they went down the street and someone else was in their head and they didn't say hello. Or you were in a meeting and you said something, they get all bent out of shape and start something on internet. So we're not talking about terrible. We're talking about not really ideal.
Okay, but as Kali Yuga progresses, there's more and more of these.
But what is that to you? You're here now.
Well, I personally experienced pains in my life that I can, you know, pain for situations.
Yes, but not like what we just... We're not talking Yad Vashem pain here. We're not talking about piles of human skulls or somebody's, you know, outfitted their apartment with, you know, skin. You know what I'm saying?
No, I lost my grandfather in the Holocaust.
You can relate to it, but you weren't around. You're not there.
These things trickle down.
Okay. Time is up. We're going to end now. Jai. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.